This is a Mexican Crossing Lines with your hosts, Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And Duke Gomez-Shemp.
You're listening to 88.1 FM KPPPLP Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. You can also find all of our past programs by going to kpppfm.com. You can listen to them in podcast form. You can watch them on our Facebook page. You can also go and see them on our YouTube channel at Duke1517. There are so many ways that you can consume our programs, and also so many ways you can get a hold of us. By the way, thank you for all your comments and emails and ideas on topics, the shares, the love. We appreciate it all, but especially we appreciate your support. So, Duke, how can people support our work?
Well, you know, I'd like to thank people for their support. I mean, we've been going for 3 years, and it's because of people that support us, people that listen to us, people that watch us. I want to thank each and every one of you. We've had a lot of Facebook activity the past year and a half or so, and that has brought in a whole new audience. And we do broadcast here in the Fargo-Moorhead region on the radio. Many of these programs become actual, audio programs that go on the air here in Fargo-Moorhead on 88.1 FM. So I'd like to thank everybody who's brought us to this point, and we're very excited to continue doing this work. There's many ways that you can send us information, as whatever you're most comfortable with. We have a message line that people call and leave messages. We just played a viewer comment the other day on our show, and that number is 701-566-0917. Again, that number is 701-566-0917. You can also email Cindy at kpppfm.com and Duke at kpppfm.com. You can go to our Facebook page at 88.1 FM Fargo-Moorhead, the People's Press Project, and Mexi-Can. You can also go to our website at kpppfm.com, and that's where, as Cindy said, we put our audio podcast, we put our shows, we put some of the notes, some of the links. We do a video on there, too. We take the videos from Facebook Lives. We actually record them and put them on our YouTube channel at Duke1517. We're over 1,000 subscribers, thanks to you who have subscribed, and we really appreciate that. And keep on subscribing. Go to Duke1517 or just Duke Gomez Shemp. Subscribe to our channel. Put the alert bell on. These programs go up pretty much right after we finish the programs each day. We put them up on YouTube so other people that aren't part of Facebook that can, and also YouTube audience, can also watch our shows. Please do that. We're still waiting to be partner verified by YouTube and get some of the new tools we get for being at that amount of subscribers. So thank you all. And when you're back at the kpppfm.com website, you can read a little bit about our history. You can also look at some of the other programs we have. And also, since we're a nonprofit organization, we have a designation from the IRS as a 501c3. You can make a tax-deductible donation to our station, and that funding goes directly into everything we need to be able to continue bringing programs to you. And you go to kpppfm.com/donate, make a donation. If you're not comfortable doing online donations, it has an address and instructions how you can send a check. And when you do online donations, you get an immediate receipt, when we receive it. And, people who, send things through the mail, you'll get something at, the end of the year. We do appreciate that. We want to be accountable, and we thank everyone who's supporting us, and enjoy the show.
Thank you very much, Duke. And thank you very much to all of our listeners, our viewers, everyone that supports our work out there. It is tough. It's especially tough bringing the message that we're bringing because people don't want to hear it. Tonight's show is going to be about what the Border Support Network's plans are, why it's important for you to know. You should know. The Border Support Network, as I told you, is a group on Facebook. It used to be called the Caravan Support Network, and before that it was called the Asylum Seekers Support Network, hashtag Asylum Support Seekers Network. It used to be, prior to that, Abolish ICE, or Occupy ICE, not sure. It was started by Antifa anarchist leaders like Evan Duke and others that I have talked to you about on our show. We're going to break down some of their upcoming plans and why you should know about them. It's a lot easier to deal with these folks when you see them coming and you know what they're up to. That's why tonight's show is about the Border Support plans. You need to know about them. So let's start tonight. We're going to start by talking about Trump's tweet saying that he's going to be bringing millions of people that are here undocumented going back to Mexico. Let's go, going back to their countries. And the president's tweet set off a firestorm in Mexico, Central America. I left you in my last program earlier in the week, kind of as a cliffhanger and as to what's going to happen next. We also talked about the fact that Irineo Mujica, leader of Pueblos Sin Fronteras, along with Cristobal Sanchez, had been released after the, all of the DC negotiations around stopping the tariffs for Mexico. There was a lot of positive things that Mexico was doing, at least on the surface, like sending National Guard to their southern border with Guatemala and saying they were going to work in a joint fashion to stop human trafficking and child trafficking and sex trafficking, especially. And also the fact that they arrested two people that have been accused of such things, including Irineo Mujica and Cristobal Sanchez. But we told you they were released. Well, we're going to talk about what they did after they got released, what they were saying most specifically, and who they were talking about, because they were talking trash. And specifically, they were talking trash about the human rights priest, one of the leaders on the topic of human rights in Mexico, Father Alejandro Solalinde. And we're going to hear from Father Alejandro Solalinde's own mouth what he did say about Irineo and Cristobal and Pueblos Sin Fronteras specifically. We're going to hear what the father said about Irineo, about his activities, about Pueblos Sin Fronteras, and about how Pueblos Sin Fronteras have been affecting the migrants, have been charging them for smuggling them into the United States. This is the priest saying, you know, these two people that are in jail, this was, I'm going to have you listen to what he said about the allegations being made about him, the things being said about him by Pueblos Sin Fronteras, and what he said about it. Okay. The back and forth is going to be hot tonight. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be in Spanish, but I'm going to translate for you so you won't miss a word. And then I'm going to walk through some of the things that are on Border Support Network's next top list of stuff to do. Okay? Because they've got a lot of plans in a lot of places, including continuing of transportation within the United States in terms of sponsors and getting migrants to different states, supposedly to be reunited with their families and sponsors. But we don't know for sure. I mean, we don't know exactly where people are being transported and for what purposes. I haven't verified it. But I know that one of the organizations that is doing this is one of the Border Support Network groups, one of the people that posts on in that group on that Facebook page. And that is Minority Humanitarian Foundation and Mark Lane. And we'll give you some more details about them. Because, you know, I've been exposing that the face of these pseudo activists, what they show frontward facing to the world is, we are defenders of human rights. We are defenders of human rights. We are defenders of human rights until somebody lifts the lid and shows you the human trafficking, the smuggling, the sexual assaults, the abuses, the, you know. And then you can't get away with that label so easily. But all of these groups within the Border Support Network consider themselves human rights advocates and defenders. So do the members of the not federally recognized Carrizo Comecruda tribe and their leader, Juan B. Mancias, also an activist connected to the American Indian Movement, also an activist connected to the fiasco that was Standing Rock camps, which cost North Dakota over $30 million. and over a year of encampments and protests and violent clashes with police and a PR nightmare orchestrated by Hollywood elites and people in the Democratic Party. I'm just saying, that's who was there. And we're going to talk about what they're doing and what their plans are, what they're posting about. We're also going to talk about the clergy, the group of clergy that got involved way back when Standing Rock started, but also involved with this, with these caravans, with this mass migration. You remember them? They started off, they showed up there at the playas to all get arrested together. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Remember them, Duke?
I sure do.
And then Muhammad El-Naqib, one of Mark Lane's cohorts, was tagging people, clergy in this group, and Linda Sarsour, one of the co-founders of the Women's March, was, you know, weighing in on the whole thing. We're going to look at more closely all of the posts that have been getting put into the Border Support Network and what their plans are behind them. Like the protests in Detroit against the offices of Immigration and Customs Enforcement there. And who the people are that were doing the protesting, we'll take a look into how they're connected to the Border Support Network. We will also look at the other cross of the border in TJ. I know by now you've all heard of the Enclave Caracol vegan restaurant cover for weird medical clinic plus shelter and housing for migrants in the caravan plus home center for Al Otro Lado volunteers and lawyers and who knows how many other groups of activists and lawyers and medics. But you know about Enclave Caracol. Mm-hmm. Do you know about El Comedor Contra Viento y Marea?
Nope.
You might have heard of that name, Contra Viento y Marea, because it was also the name of the shelter where the standoff with federal police took place in Mexico, where the activists that I told you that were connected to the Border Support Network, and even before that to Standing Rock, advised the migrants in the caravan in protest fashion to have a standoff against the police so that they could hold the space for coming caravans to have a place to shelter. At least that was their excuse, you may recall. We're going to talk about them. And one of the people that is posting in Border Support Network that is part of the group that is currently in Tijuana, named Ernesto Merlo Almufakir. That sounds a little bit Muslim. Anyway, here's something interesting that I have for you about this group, Contra Viento y Marea, this new food restaurant, this new restaurant slash garden slash similar to, you know, Enclave Caracol, kind of like a jack of all trades, a building of all trades. They just kind of do everything and all the things in the same building. And how one of the group's leaders, Devi Machete, is also the person that manages Hecate Society, which we saw was employed as a media platform during the standoff with the federal police in Mexico that we were just talking about, and the blog associated with it called It's Going Down. You remember all those things? Mm-hmm. If you don't, if you're just learning about them tonight for the first time, I will take you deeper. For those you know, for those who don't know, I will give you the first blush and you will understand it. But it is going to be a great show, so keep it tuned here. Let's start by talking about the tweet that just kicked off all of this. It's funny, the president can put out a tweet and send the markets into chaos, mm-hmm. and send governments into chaos and have people plotting and planning all these things. You want to read that one, Duke?
Yeah, Donald J. Trump at Real Donald Trump. Next week, ICE will begin the process of removing the millions of illegal aliens who have illicitly found their way into the United States. They will be removed as fast as they come in. Mexico, using their strong immigration laws, is doing a very good job of stopping people.
Well, I took a little bit of an umbrage to that. I think for those of you who have been watching, if you watched Oscar El Blue Ramirez's recent reports all the way from Guatemala, you saw how easy it was for him to cross the Suchiate River on a raft, right? Mm-hmm. You watched how simple and how open and how not stopped that form of crossing is. So obviously, Mexico is doing a good job of stopping people in some ways, in some places, like they're doing with the National Guardsmen on the roadways, which is what they promised to do, right? So we're going to send some National Guards down there, and we're going to put the people on the roadways. But what about the river? What about the river? You know that that is one of the main ways that people are crossing illegally. The majority of people that are crossing through Mexico into Mexico from Guatemala are not crossing on the roadway. They're not coming in on a bus. They're not documenting themselves, identifying themselves at the border crossing. They're not coming in that way. They are going across a river. And what are we doing to stop that? Well, what I can tell you is that one of the mayors from that border crossing assured the raft workers, who are a very strong lobby in that area, assured them their businesses would not be touched. You will essentially guaranteeing them that they will be able to continue to operate their businesses, which, let's be clear, consist of crossing people illegally, things illegally, including drugs and weapons. Nobody's checking this stuff. It's not like they got some customs and border person down there checking every raft. They don't. That's the point. If that way of bringing things into Mexico is not having any accountability at all built into it, then they could do a great job on the roadways. They could even have 100% batting average on catching people on roadways that are undocumented, but you're leaving the major way open. That's all I'm saying. What do you think, Duke? Talk to me.
Well, you know, it just makes me think about the, it's been this way for a while, you know, and that with the...
it's always been that way.
Yeah, well, the migrant caravan's kind of putting a damper on it because it's putting attention towards stuff, you know. And even though it exists that way now, there's a lot of pressure from the United States, and, you know, Mexico has to go and deal with their southern borders. And, you know, what's happened to me through this whole process, I'm learning geography. I look at the maps. I start looking at what countries border Mexico, Guatemala, you know, and what border, you know, look all around at where people are coming from and how they're traveling, where the roads are, where the rivers are. And it has, you know, I've seen the raft, you know, crossings before. I've seen documentaries and stuff like that. But now, you know, it's like there's a tension towards that. There's a tension towards that. It's also, it's like, you know, as Cindy said, you know, it's like, duh, you know, a perfect place to cross drugs and do all sorts of illegal activity because there isn't anyone there to hold you accountable. You know, it's been a pretty safe place for that sort of thing. And this is kind of putting a damper on that sort of plan. It kind of makes me wonder what sort of repercussions will be because of that.
Well, so far, it doesn't look like there are any.
Hmm.
Not for the people that are doing the crossing. And, you know, look, we have to be reasonable. You have to be reasonable in the sense that you can't change things overnight, okay? I agree with you 100%. Things have been like this for a while. And the fact that things have all, to be more clear, things have always been like that is something that Americans should recognize. You're not going to change it overnight. You can't. The infrastructure just isn't there. The funding, the infrastructure, the money, the people. It's not so much even that the president of Mexico, although if you don't feel comfortable in believing that he can follow through with the things that he says because he's been lying to the Mexican people, I understand you. I understand you. I know why you have those reservations, but it's not even that he's necessarily lying so much as the fact he doesn't have the money to do the thing. You know, those empty campaign promises when people say, we're going to do this and we're going to, but where are you going to get the money to do it? I mean, I can have it inside of my heart that I want to do these lofty things for people, but then not be able to carry it out. And that's the situation we have here. There is no border wall at the southern border with Mexico and Guatemala. There's no way to overnight stop what is a massive, massive business. And you know what? One of the reasons, the major reasons that Mexico has not gotten on board, has been dragging its feet in terms of updating its immigration laws and policies and closing loopholes and closing, you know, things like what I'm talking about right now, the people going across on the rafts in the Suchete River, is because all of those millions, nay, billions of dollars of money coming back to Mexico from undocumented workers in the U.S. You know that's true. You know that that is a giant part of Mexico's income. The undocumented workers living in the United States and sending the money out of the country into Mexico. And guess what that's going to happen? Guess what the Hondurans that are here are going to do? And guess what the Salvadorians that are here are going to do? Guess what the Venezuelans that are here are going to do? Or the Cubans? They're going to send the money they make in the United States out of the country. That's why those countries are going to turn a blind eye to the solutions needed by America. Because it's not convenient. In fact, it's expensive. It's going to cost those countries a lot of money. So, you know, Trump, he looked at the situation. He's like, okay, so you're worried about money, right? How about a 25% tariff on your products, right? Mm-hmm. Put the fear of Jesus right into them. He put the fear of Jesus right into them because they're like, oh, well, that will collapse our economy. We can't do that. So now we have choices to make. Either we let the United States, one of our main partners, collapse our economy and you can just kiss that trade agreement out the, you know, goodbye, because that's not going to happen now. So both of those things are gone. Our economy is in shambles. We have no trade agreement. And we're letting all of these people through because of the big business that this implies. But we're also doing it at the expense of local Mexicans and the Mexican economy, even though we're lying to the Mexican people and telling them it's the Christian and godly thing to do. Nothing bad is going to happen for all of these millions of people coming into our country. And of course, you know, because I've shown you, the president and his administration in Mexico are lying to the Mexican people, saying where they're going to get the money from or that they have the money. If you didn't watch my last show, I explained how President Andrés Manuel López Obrador said he would pay for all of this with the luxurious Mexican airplane, the president airplane that is going to be sold, that was actually sold in 2012 and which they owe money on. So there is no money. There is no budget. It's all lies and propaganda and jargon. And it is with these words and through this propaganda that your perceptions of what is happening are controlled. So, to that end, Pueblos Sin Fronteras held various press conferences. I will share the links. Lizard, if you can drop the links to parts one and part two of the full press conferences in Spanish held by Pueblos Sin Fronteras' Irineo Mojica and Cristobal Sanchez there in the red shirt all the way on the end. The two other gentlemen we will talk about at a later date, but I just wanted to mention that it was an interesting press conference. There was a lot of messaging that was done in the press conference. And the reason I share the links to the entire press conferences themselves is so that you can go and listen to them and go, I apologize again. They are in Spanish. But for those of you who speak Spanish and listen to my programs, voy a estar haciendo un programa en español después de este. I will be doing a Spanish program after this one for my Spanish-speaking audiences here in the U.S. and in Mexico and elsewhere all over the Latin-speaking world. Les mando un fuerte beso y abrazo a todos, a mi familia en México, a mis amigos en México y a todos los tijuanenses que nos siguen. Un fuerte abrazo a ustedes. I'll be doing a show for them right after this. But first, to my American audience, this is a Mexican crossing line explaining to you on both sides of the border, what's going on. Pueblos Sin Fronteras, in the press conferences, in the media, in the Twitter sphere, on social media, on Facebook, all connected themselves to this trial of Scott Warren in Arizona. They all referred to themselves as human rights defenders and said human rights work is being criminalized. Have you seen this message in social media, Duke?
Oh, yeah, all over the place.
It's been dizzying, like over and over and over again. What does it look like? What does it sound like? What are they talking about in terms of the water and the humanitarian work? And they're being criminalized.
Yeah. It's like, oh, the humanitarian aid is a crime, you know, and it's like, it's pretty lame because, you know, these guys were, you know, caught with some very strong evidence and this stuff's going on. I mean, there's holes in the border. You know, Trump wants to plug all these holes in the border. There's a lot of people who are smuggling people. There's a lot of people smuggling going on, especially on the backs of this caravan. And this caravan's all about smuggling and extorting and trafficking people. And we haven't heard much conversation about that. But as soon as a few people were actually arrested for it, then they turned it into, these are humanitarian aid people. They just go give people water who are walking across the desert and are dying. Here's another person who, you know, and people are walking across the desert and dying, you know, because of, you know, the way the system works and, you know, what's been happening with people migrating. But then they're put up on a pedestal that they were saving people and they are innocent people and we're criminalizing. And that's the sort of thing that these fake-tivists, they're all about feeling like they are being victimized when they're causing the biggest problems. I mean, they're starting to legislate the way protests can happen, and they're starting to charge people with felonies for obstructing construction. And they're like, look what they're doing. They're taking away our constitutional rights of assembly. And it's like, no.
No, they're taking away your paycheck.
Yeah, they're taking away, you know, they're taking away the ability for you to fake out a bunch of people and pretend you're doing good for the community is what's happening.
And fundraise millions of dollars in the process because I've shown you they do. And you know what, folks? Let's face it. In the United States, money laundering crimes are, you know, just not prosecuted. I don't know. I'm going to put out the last stat I heard, but I mean, 1 to 2% of money laundering crimes in the United States are rigorously prosecuted. The vast majority don't even make it on the radar. We don't have an apparatus strong enough in our justice community to go after these folks and really make it costly for them to punish them for defrauding people. I mean, look at how frequent this is of a problem now. There's just this pass. It is like we've said, it's open season on trafficking and we won't prosecute you either. We won't prosecute you. This is the second time. Scott Warren is not the first guy to get off for work. And by the way, I showed you these folks were working with the cartels. So all of this humanitarian defender, blah, 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 blah. It's falling on deaf ears, especially in Mexico. People can see through your hogwash in Mexico. And Alex Mensing of Pueblos Sin Fronteras, along with Irineo Mujica and all of these other folks I've mentioned to you, are trying to put out this spin. And they're definitely trying to throw Padre Solalinde under the bus. He's under the bus now. He's been thrown under the bus for a while, and it is intensifying. Check this post out on Twitter, or maybe it was on his, yeah, it was Twitter, where he is directly accusing Father Solalinde. And he says, after Irineo and Cristobal were released, and after all of these calls for the Mexican president to stop criminalizing human rights defenders, Alex tweeted a quote saying that the president, López Obrador, had suffered in his credibility and his government as well. And that Father Solalinde, who appears to be immune and to be able to act with impunity, when he was one of the people most responsible for this entire fiasco. So there's a lot of finger pointing going on. I guess this is the part of the story when people begin to throw each other under the bus, wouldn't you say, Duke?
Yeah,
We've seen that before, mm-hmm. haven't you?
Oh, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it gets tough, when it gets tough going, when there's accountability happening, you see all sorts of people throwing all sorts of people under the bus.
One of our listeners, Tori, says Kamala Harris complained of a four-month-old that turned out to not be related to the people who had the baby. Oh, dear Lord. Yes. And you know what? Because these politicians, because these activists, pseudo-activists, are clamoring for the humanitarian response, which means open borders, let everyone through. Don't keep them in the facility until you check whose kids or whose parents. Don't ensure that what we know is happening with children, which is human trafficking, is stopped. Do nothing about it. Let them in. Don't check them. Let them out of the detention facilities. Drop the walls. That's what we're supposed to do. Is that the most humanitarian response? Absolutely not, because what we are seeing is actually that children are being rented.
Yeah.
Children are being put in danger. I've shown you how these coyotes put people's lives in danger, dropping them off in the desert. They don't care what happens to these folks. As long as they collected their thousands of dollars in cash, they're good to go. Check out the interview here of Irineo Mujica on Ciro TV. I want you to hear from his own words. I will be translating this for you. But I want you to hear in his own words what he is saying about Padre Solalinde. Here he goes. Right after he got out of jail. So many people know our work. 25 years of jail I was facing. I was so depressed. How is this possible? I had suicidal ideation. I don't know why I have that anxiety. I'm capable. But I'm completely disenchanted with some people. Like Father Solalinde, who I loved, but after.
¿Es el ejecutor de qué, Irineo? ¿Es el ejecutor de qué?
No lo sé, porque no, como le digo, vengo saliendo y no sé exactamente qué es realmente lo que lo es. Ya después que me reúna con los demás y trate de hacer, porque ahorita me acaban de soltar, me acaban de liberar y me acosté un rato y ahorita me hablaron ustedes y necesito hablar con los demás para saber,
Okay, so I wanted to let that whole thing at the end play out after he said, after he spoke the name of Father Solalinde,
mm-hmm.
and said He is the author of all of this. He is implicated in crimes. First, he said, I am very disenchanted with certain people, like Father Solalinde, Father Alejandro Solalinde, whom I used to love, who is involved in crimes and who is the author of all of this, whatever this is. And the reporter interviewing him stops him in his tracks and says, what did you just say? The author of what? What did he author? And Edie Nail's response is all over the place. He's like, oh, snap. I accused Theresa on television. And he's like trying to pedal it back as hard as he can. He's like, I don't know. I just got out of jail and I have to talk to the others. I'm trying to process what happened to me. And I'm really not sure because there are things that have happened that I haven't been around for, but like, so I still got to talk to the other people. So he never answered the guy's question, basically. What did you just say? What did you accuse the priest of? Because the first part, when he accused him right off the bat, it was clear as a bell. He is accused of crimes, meaning Father Solalinde is involved in criminal activity. And B, he is the author of all of this, which I'm assuming means he's the reason we even got arrested in the first place. Or he's the author of all of this operation that I'm involved in, so I don't know why he's accusing me. One of those, something like that. Big, big words. He didn't feel like backing up. I thought that was incredibly interesting. Here's how Father Solalinde hit back. I'm going to translate as we go. Okay, folks? Be patient with me. He's on a different radio show.
Pagados, financiados. En Estados Unidos,
there are organized, paid for, and some people in the United States said it's Soros. But whoever it is, it's really bad because it's hurting country. It's hurting. It's generating instability in Mexico. I want to be clear. And I know this personally. I don't have anything. I don't have anything against Pueblos Sin Fronteras as an org. I know Irineo, and he's my friend. But I cannot no longer be quiet about what I've seen and what is in my conscience. I can't say that they were carrying people, like I said last year, or that it was just irresponsible and negligent. No, I can now say, because I can tell you what I see. With regard to Irineo being detained. Yes, what I've lived. It has been incredibly painful for me what I've experienced. Since January, people were calling me and saying, Father, I already paid to people from Pueblos Sin Fronteras. I gave them $3,000. One of them said $3,000, and they left me here. But that's when that happened, I immediately went directly to him. Because there's witnesses too. Weeks passed. I started getting more calls. People would call me, Father, help me. I want my money back. You know what? I don't even want my money back, some of them said. I just want you to help me. And I was like, I'm not going to transport you. I'm not going to help you. I had to tell him that.
Antes de la Semana Santa,
before Holy Week, there was filters put in place so that people couldn't even pass anymore, and they couldn't even fulfill their contracts or whatever with these people. So those people had paid, and they were demanding their money back. So I went directly to him, and I said, and I also was with the director of Movimiento Mesoamerica. He was there, so he could say. And I said to them both, I called them out. The state of Mexico, we're mad at you. How you handled this, and how you took everyone all to Tijuana, and you got left them stranded at the border. But look, watch yourself. And he wouldn't accept anything. On the 25th of March, we had another reunion with another person that we like a lot. We're not going to talk about. I'm not going to say what her name is. And Rubén Figueroa
Ahí,
was
perdón,
there again?
Les reclamé a los dos.
And I
reclamé a los dos, les dije, miren,
I said to both of them,
ustedes están traicionando a México.
You are betraying Mexico.
Están traicionando a México porque,
you're betraying our country.
Están haciendo las cosas de tal manera.
You're doing things in such a way.
Tan irresponsable de
so irresponsible.
Antes ahí.
Leaving the immigrants there,
y están llevándolo, generando un problema,
and you are generating a problem.
Se los dije.
And I told them
y
that.
Le dije, le volví a decir,
and I said it again to Irineo.
Me siguen llamando personas.
People are still calling
que,
me and telling me
a ti, que dieron a,
they
que
gave you money.
A varias personas,
they gave money to lots of people.
No quiero mencionar,
I'm not going to mention their names.
Dinero, de $3,000
3,000 to $5,000, even up to $8,000 per person.
Irineo reacciona.
Please react, Irineo.
No, yo no,
and he just he
no,
denied it.
No, no, no he hecho nada, no
I've not, I haven't done anything.
Pasaron como tres semanas.
3 weeks after,
me llama
more people paciente. Were calling me. We've always
me
been in communication.
Le ayudara, porque ya ahora sí
and finally, he needed my help, so he needed me.
La gente,
because people were really after him.
Y él pensaba que yo sí podía pasarlos,
and he thought that I could help him cross people somehow
para traer las personas a México.
To, through Mexico.
No puedo ayudarte.
And I said, I'm really sorry.
Y decir, ya me contestó,
I can't help you.
De mí, no se preocupe, yo te...
He's... So basically, he's like, no, I am not going to be part of your smuggling operation. I'm sorry, no. So, Father Solalinde, who says, this is a guy I know, I'm trying to help him, I want to help him, but I find out, you know, it went not just from them carrying people or accompanying people, as they like to call it, escorting people, but from the priest knowing for a fact that he was charging people money, that this was an operation, this was a giant smuggling operation that he was privy to, that he was aware of, that lots of people were aware of. There are witnesses. Duke, your thoughts on what you just heard?
Well, you know, I was listening to him. I was trying to figure out that, you know, how many people have contacted him and also how he seems to be aligned with these people, you know, and yet he's respected as this person who is independent and has been supportive of migrants and is a you know a religious clergy and very influential. And it's like, you know, I've been I don't know, I've heard people talk really good about him, I've heard people talk really bad about him, so I'm still trying to figure out like what is he really doing, you know. And that's just my own perspective. I don't know that much, but I've seen him in all these situations. He was in Tijuana with the when AMLO was there doing a speech. I think that Oscar interviewed him, you
yep.
know, and it just, I don't know. I'm just, every time I see him, I think he's worth looking at, but I don't quite have him figured out. That's for sure. My perspective.
Well, if I take him at his word, I have seen him call the actions of Pueblos Sin Fronteras irresponsible and unethical, unscrupulous. That was the word.
Okay.
Unscrupulous. So we know what both sides are saying. Here is what Marcelo Ebrard, okay, is saying about what's going on with the trafficking. And that's why I was mentioning the ICE people being deployed. And what else we need to develop investing in the South. This is not the right clip, I don't think. Some of them, yes, maybe.
Se van a aumentar el número de hectáreas y ya, como ustedes saben, está operando.
Y son miles de empleos,
lo que va a haber en el corto plazo.
Because it's not talking about trafficking.
Van a tomar un poco más de tiempo, pero ya están en curso, como mencionó el señor gobernador de Oaxaca, el interoceánico. Que ya dio alguna información muy valiosa en este momento.
How
y lo
long
mismo
is
ocurre
this
en, varia,
clip?
En varios de los estados aquí presentes. El tercer elemento que queremos
Wait.
Significar es que el plan de desarrollo para Centroamérica efectivamente
talking about the
le
Central
ofrezca
American plan.
A quienes están tomando la opción de emigrar opciones en el corto plazo. Porque la razón por la cual están haciendo todo esta ruta tan peligrosa que cuesta más o menos entre $3,500, $4,000.
$3,500 from $3,500 to $7,000 is what it costs per person. That's $20 million a day. made.
Porque es lo que les
in trafficking.
Cobran.
That's how much they are charged.
O sea, aquí hay dos partes.
So there's two parts of this.
Por la pobreza,
there's a motivation
inmenso,
from poverty
millones,
to migrate, but
dólares,
it's also a business. It's a billion-dollar business.
El más desgarrador de todos estos tráficos
and
es
the,
el de
the
los
saddest
niños.
Of this trafficking operation
niños,
is that thousands of children are rented.
Dicen,
so if you're in the United States, they'll tell you, we'll get you through Mexico,
Unidos,
all the way to Mexico,
niño,
and they get you a kid. You rent one.
Para que en Estados Unidos
so that in the United States, you can get out
tu permiso de trabajo los 20 días. Y lo
and you can
diciendo,
get a work permit 20 days after you get out of jail.
Nada más.
And it's a fact.
Hasta la fecha, también se lo dijimos ya
and we've already said that.
Para que participen a los compañeros de Centroamérica
and to our partners in Central America. And we're talking about it to our partners in the U.S.
Nos aboquemos entre todos
we all need to work
ese tráfico.
Eso on
es esclavitud.
Putting, breaking up this trafficking operation. It's
entonces,
slavery
no
of infants, of children. That's exactly right. So it was a lot less of that clip, but we finally got to that part. Sorry, guys. I think it's really important for you to hear how everyone is in accord and everyone is in agreement. The beginning part of that was a little bit tacked on to what I expected to hear was talking about what the Central American plan is. What is Mexico's plan of Central American development that is going to keep people in their countries from wanting to leave in the first place, right? But then he gets to the business end of it and he's like, but you know, they have to pay from $3,500 to $7,000 per head
mm-hmm.
for that migration, because that's what they're paying the coyotes. And he says, so in one day, from start to finish, that's $20 million in a day.
Wow.
Did he say 20 million or 20 billion?
I
can't remember. That's his math, not mine. I just translated it. Whatever. Go back and listen to what I said. That's what it said. Point is, it's a huge business. So there are two factors that are creating, that are maintaining the level of migration that we currently have. One of them, he's saying, is people's need, people's wanting to do this. And the other one, of course, is the business end, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about the fact that what really this represents, because people are trafficking children, they're literally renting other people's kids and using them as props. And putting those kids in danger to cross rivers, to go over fences. And this is what the messaging to counteract that reality, okay? Now I've shown you the facts of what's really going on. But the activists, the pseudo-activists that are trying to sell you, that are trying to push your buttons and try to sell you a different frame, this is what their propaganda is to counteract that reality. Of the trafficking of children, of the renting of children, okay? Here's what you can find if you go to the Border Support Network Facebook page. You'll find a whole bunch of different things, and I'm not even going to go through all of it. But there's a very interesting element of this case with the Scott Warren teacher, Dr. Scott Warren. And as of course, you will recall, I made the distinction with Professor Correa Cabrera between mercenary activism and human rights defenders, because they're two very different things. And there's a lot of people calling themselves human rights defenders that are mercenary activists. Why and how are they differentiated? Go back and watch that show. What I can tell you, the most stark part of it is that these people, Scott Warren, is working with people, as you heard from Solalinde and others. This is a business. It is a trafficking and smuggling operation. It includes infant slavery. Okay? It includes infant slavery. But these folks have no problem in doing it. Scott Warren has no problems. No More Death has no problems in working with people that are into child slavery. They don't have no problems in working with people that are smuggling drugs, that are giving drugs to children at shelters, that are kidnapping unaccompanied minors. They have no problems working together. It's fine. It's fine. I've told you what that can do. I showed you in the case of Kathleen Bennett in my investigation of that mercenary activism, how it led to a woman put in a jail, forgotten, left behind. She was facing 15 years in prison and her mother was taken from her. And she eventually died she went into an early grave because of the horrible treatment that she received from these pseudo activists. But the way that they did it was they used people that were at the Standing Rock camp that came there that called themselves street medics. Or they just called themselves medics at the time. Mulaney, the kidnapper of Mary Trujillo, the woman that accused Kathleen Bennett, called herself a medic. Was she a medic? No, she wasn't. But that didn't matter. In documentaries I've shown you, she called herself a medic. There was a lot of other people there calling themselves medics too. You notice these people will call themselves things that have some kind of moral authority in our society, such as Native American tribe leaders or elders, such as medics, such as lawyers. Remember Red Wolf Pope, the rapist? Oh, yeah. Wasn't a lawyer. I could go on and on, but all I have to say is I have a new respect for checking people's credentials if they say they're a lawyer or a doctor. Don't be afraid to say, what state are you licensed in? Let me check that out.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would guess and I would probably predict a vast majority of those calling themselves by these titles don't have the kind of record, if they do hold those titles, that they purport themselves to have. Because you'll see many of these people are like, she's an award-winning lawyer. That's an award-winning organization. That's award-winning. I've heard that a lot. I've also shown you how they're the ones giving themselves awards.
Uh-huh.
But I digress. Check this out because it all comes together. Check this out is one of the posts that they were putting out there in the Border Support Network. And it was an article by Democracy Now! Detailing how they, are pushing this memo, this idea that Scott Warren was saving someone's lives. Now, the prosecution made it very clear that these men were not in any immediate danger. No one was dehydrated and on their last breath. Mm-hmm. No one was at death's door and needed to be transported to a hospital. These folks, the extent of what Scott Warren detailed at the trial was their medical condition is that they had blisters on their feet and that one reported having a sore ribs. Hmm. That's what it says on this article. One of them reported sore ribs. The other one had blisters on his feet. Those were their medical conditions. And Scott Warren, he didn't just rely on the fact that, you know, he has some people calling themselves medics with no more deaths that were, you know, passing out water. No. He called a real doctor. They don't name the doctor. I'd love to know who that doctor is. But it says he called a doctor who the organization No More Deaths works with. So they work with medics, right? Has worked with for years. And what kind of a doctor is he?
Award-winning.
He's an award-winning doctor. And that's how they validate these things. For those of you who've been watching my broadcasting and watching how I explain the modus operandi of these pseudo-activists since Standing Rock, you've seen this before. You know what this is, right? Very interesting to see it for me. And here, I want to show you another one of the people that posts and moderates the posts within the Border Support Network on Facebook page, Doug McLean. He was posting in Border Support Network, and this is what they're talking about. What is it that they're promoting? What propaganda are they promoting right now, Duke?
Yeah, it figures. Immigrant children and families are being held in detention facilities all over the southern border and are even being transferred to an Oklahoma Army base that was used as an internment camp for the Japanese Americans during World War II. So yeah, comparisons to the 1940s are not out of nowhere. The U.S. is running concentration camps on our southern border, and that is exactly what they are. Ocasio-Cortez said on Instagram, the fact that the concentration camps are now institutionalized practice in the home of the free is extraordinarily disturbing, and we need to do something about it. And then there's the pictures.
Okay. Remember, these are the same pseudo-activists that organized the caravans that brought people to the United States en masse, that tried to break our immigration justice system by overburdening it with so many fake cases of asylum seekers who will not be qualified for asylum and filled the for-profit private prisons with people to the point where they're overflowing and there's nowhere for them to go, and they're experiencing these overcrowded, inhumane, or less than sanitary or less than ideal conditions. These are the very same people that orchestrated it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, on the flip side, they're the ones denouncing it. Oh, my God, it's so overcrowded and horrible and the conditions are terrible. But I also showed you that they have this messaging that they are now employing about why you need to go protest these places. They're not detention facilities where they have to check out to make sure who comes into our country and whether those people are sick or safe or anything like that, or even family members of the people they're with, or trying to scam our system or break our system in some way. They're concentration camps where, well, they may not have, while they may not currently have, you know, ovens where they're, you know, on the daily walking in groups of families that they are burning, or, you know, that they're killing with gas and then burning in incinerators. There is a level of urgency to having people go down to protest the detention facilities. Now, let's just talk about what the possible outcomes of that could be. Because I just want to, for a minute, since we're going to talk about their strategy, just for a minute, here's another part of their strategy. I'm just going to put it up and then we'll talk about it as we go. Jesse Garcia, one of the other people we saw at the camps in Texas where they're trying to stop Carrizo Comecrudo tribe is trying to now stop the abandoned cemetery from being whatever. Jesse, he posts, this page is a platform from Detention Nation Oregon to track and report government detention of immigrants and their children in the state of Oregon. So you're going to see a lot of different posts like this under the Border Support Network where they're talking about how they're going to stop detention and how they're going to kind of protest the facilities where the detention is taking place.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just say that the Carrizo Comecrudo cemetery, the Border Support Network cemetery that they're currently protecting, supposedly, as well as many of these other actions that they take, whether they're in protesting an ICE facility or whatever, like they did at the Tornillo occupation, they don't necessarily care about the outcome, to be clear. They don't necessarily care. I would even go a step further and say they not only don't necessarily care about the outcome, they're not really there to ensure that the detention facility isn't open anymore, yeah, or that the wall isn't built. Or
mm-hmm.
No, they're there for the photo op. They're there for the media op. But they're also there to, I guess, fabricate or make it appear that the sentiment that we need to close down our detention facilities is something that is spreading all over the country. Never mind that it's not going to really happen.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a group of people in the world that we're trying to make it appear as if it's doable. It's something that you can do. And this is why I bring up the fact that we have to think about this. Wherever you stand on this issue, whether or not you hate detention facilities and think they should all be closed and we shouldn't even have ICE and we shouldn't even have Border Patrol, or you're somewhere in between, or you're on the other spectrum and you think that we should round up and deport every single undocumented person in this country and they should all be in jail, what you're missing in the conversation is whether or not what these pseudo activists tell you they're going to do is a doable thing. Can they even do the thing? Because I'll tell you something, no matter what you think, in Mexico, people know they're not going to overthrow the government of Mexico. People know that there is not going to be anarchy, that they're not going to get rid of the Instituto Nacional de Inmigración, INAMI, which would be our equivalent of ICE. They know they're not going to get rid of the National Guard at the border now. They know that they're not going to get rid of the federal police. They know they're not going to get rid of border checkpoints. They're not running around selling some stupid propaganda about how they're going to abolish those institutions of government, which they know ahead of time they're not going to abolish. For the first time in Mexico's history, you're listening to KPPPLP Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. I have seen stations, checkpoints, border entries violently violated, burned, and agents attacked and killed in a way I had never seen in Mexico being done before. But I can tell you, even that does not change the overall perception of Mexican people in Mexico that INAMI is there to stay, that these institutions, that border security, slow as it may be, hard as it may be to get done overnight at the southern border with Guatemala, is here to stay and only can improve going forward. Because as Ebrard himself said in that press conference, we are going to enforce the law. We are going to have immigration laws that require people to be identified, to check themselves at the border, to come with papers, to come with documentation. And we're going to enforce those laws because we can't have millions of people coming into our country that we don't know are here, and we don't know why they're here, and we don't know who they are. I'm summarizing, paraphrasing, but that's essentially what he said. And you know what? That's what the United States is doing as well. This is different times, people. And geopolitical moves are being made, if you haven't paid attention to the refugee and the caravan situation going on in Europe, you should have been paying attention because it's being reproduced here now. These folks know that they are operating with cartel members in tow. They are operating along with the organized crime, that they are operating along with people like Irineo, people like Pitaya Queen, people like the unscrupulous lawyers groups like Nicole Ramos Heads, people like Alex Mensing. They know that these folks are involved with unsavory things, but you know what? They just don't care. They don't care. Look, another one of these people that's posting in here, besides Jesse Garcia in Border Support Network, is Julie of the Minority Humanitarian Foundation. Could you put up that post, Duke, of the Jesse and Julie higher right there? And you can see here that if you scroll down, then it must have Julie on there, right? No, there she is. There's the post right down there. There's another post posted in the same Border Support Network page. And it is, of course, Julie Kramer, or Kramer, I'm not sure. She's a Antifa-connected anarchist person working directly on the board of the Minority Humanitarian Foundation, run by the always smiley, mild-mannered, hanging out with a little child in arms, in tow, Mark Lane. Giving a shout-out to Lyft, the driving service for providing transportation to pick up Haitian asylum seekers. And, of course, they're moving people all across the country. That's what they have been doing. But let me show you a different version of Mark Lane. One of the versions of him as an activist attacking people who he has deemed to be racist because they either videotape him or they expose what he is doing. Because that's what they try to do. They label people so that folks, no one on the progressive left or no centrist would actually listen to them. But listen for yourself in Mark Lane's words. This is Roger Ogden. Now, you remember recently I shared a video of Roger Ogden's. I think the name of his platform on social media is Patriot Fire. But Roger is a blogger, a videographer who recently went to Tijuana and encountered the violent volunteers of Al Otro Lado who assaulted him, spat on him, broke a board, a chopping board on him, whom he had to mace to get out of his face. They also smashed part of his camera, which he had to replace, was a total loss, in addition to damaging his vehicle, trying to tear off his mirror. These folks are, and I have shown it to you repeatedly, violent, dangerous, and they don't mind showing it. Here is a video of Mark Lane's that's available on YouTube in which he attacks Roger Ogden, the same guy that you saw, blogger, in that Tijuana video. Here it is. Mark Lane is walking up to a picnic table where there it says honorary.
So the racist showed up to eat pizza at the park. Here's what racist pizza looks like, everybody. Eaten by racist dudes that are tough with the police around them. Racist pizza eater. Racist pizza eater. Racist pizza eater. Racist pizza eater. Hey, Roger! Roger! You're not always going to be protected when you show up, brother, you racist piece of shit. Racist piece of shit. The police can't always be around you.
The reason that you didn't hear Roger say anything is because he was just videotaping. He was crossing the street there in the crosswalk, as you saw. He was videotaping Mark Lane as Mark Lane loudly hurled hateful cuss words at him and threatened him. Did you hear the threat? Did you hear it? You racist POS, yep. You're not always going to have, you're not always going to be protected. You're
that's
not.
Right,
and then
right.
First he tells him, you ain't going to always have it, someone around you. Like, we're going to meet in a dark alley one day. You're not going to have anyone. I won't have any witnesses, and I'm going to kick your ass.
Yep.
That's what I heard.
I
like,
hear that, yep.
Look, one of these times, there's not going to be all these people around, and then something bad is going to happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
Is it just me, or did that sound like a threat?
That sounds like a threat to me, for sure.
And then he told him, because he walked right past the officers, right?
Mm-hmm.
He tells him, these officers aren't going to be around every time. He yells at him. He's yelling that at him. And the people around Mark Lane are also yelling these things. Just so you can get a taste of what these folks are really like. I've shown you other evidence of this. And I just wanted to make it very clear. These are not these human rights defenders that are out there just trying to save the lives. No. And you should ask yourself why it is that you are allowing them to portray themselves to you this way in the public without calling them out on their nonsense. Here's the Border Support Network post about the Carrizo Come Crudo tribe trying to save this cemetery, this abandoned cemetery, the Eli Jackson Cemetery, which they claim is full of Native American veterans and, you know, and of course they want you to send them some money in their GoFundMe because they are going to stop this sacred place from being destroyed and the border wall, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be by the border wall. And then, of course, you remember, or hopefully you remember, some of the people that were the admins, the administrators on the page and moderators on the page originally started when the camps were called all the way back in the beginning of the fall of last year. Because you see there it says they break ground November 30th. This post was made before November 30th,
mm-hmm.
before the camps were started. And I'm showing you the post of where the tags are because I want you to see some of the people that are most important to the Border Support Network who are very heavily connected to Antifa. And the point of that is for you to remember that it was started by a group of Antifa.
Mm-hmm.
Antifa. So we have Lilith Sinclair, a.k.a. Kiara Horsley. That's her real name. We've got a veteran, Gary Brewer. We've got Jesse Garcia, who just showed you he was posting there. We've got Jamie Skapowski. Skapowski was at the Tijuana Viento y Marea. Still follows them. We've got Juan P. Mancias of the Carrizo Come Crudo tribe and Jessica Prozinski. Remember her? Jessica Prozinski? I do too. And recently her name has come up again in the recent posts of the activities of these groups. Next, I'm going to show you what Heather Rind has posted. She's one of the people that's been tagged a lot and posts a lot in this Border Support Network, and she's talking about or reposting the New Sanctuary Coalition, where they're putting out a story about Louisiana and the detention facilities there and how ICE is
detaining
so many people and sending them to these facilities. Because next, they're going to have people protesting at detention facilities. I don't think they're going to close them, but they're still going to have a lot of protests. And they're going to have people mobilized to the border. I showed you at the end of my last show that was part of what they were going to be working on. So here is one of Lolly B's posts. And look at how many different organizations are involved here that they are making sure, right, are being mentioned. Raíces. Raíces. That's important. I've showed you them before. They're giving out Know Your Rights training, and that was posted by No Spiritual Surrender, a Facebook page started at Standing Rock and continuing to be run by a guy that was promoting a fraud, that was promoting Marcus Mitchell. Remember?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Remember he did a video calling me names because I exposed the fact that they were defrauding people out of thousands of dollars for some guy that
was defrauding people out of thousands of dollars.
Some fake gunshot wounds. Yeah. Well, that is being promoting. That guy is promoting Raíces. And they're giving Know Your Rights information along with Lolly B. These are the same. Lolly B working with Al Otro Lado lawyers are the same despicable people that put all of these migrants in these detention facilities. That is the irony of this stuff to me. You know? And here is one of the people in Detroit ICE. This is what the protest out there against the ICE building in Detroit looks like. Very recent, as you can see, but do not miss what is written at the bottom of these signs. What does it say is the page, the group that they are all linking to at the bottom of their signs?
BAM.
What does it say?
www.bam.com.
And what does BAM stand for, sir?
By any means necessary.
Yes. The leader of that group is named Yvette Falarca. She has been charged with assault. She has been one of the people that promotes violence among these Antifa anarchist people in the groups associated with the Border Support Network, to include BAM. Y'all remember BAM putting out flyers in Mexico? The mayor held up their flyer. The mayor they called a xenophobic racist in Tijuana because he was trying to protect his community. Remember that, dude?
Yep.
Well, it just so happens that those BAM-connected activists are still holding their ground at the shelter Viento y Marea. And this is what Ernesto Merlo Almufakir posted in the Border Support Network. He says, "Hey, how is everybody? I hope you're well. My issue is this. This is my need. I am looking for donations for the kitchen, the community kitchen, Contra Viento y Marea, Against Wind and Surf. Same name as the shelter where they had the standoff with the federal police. Remember that? Okay. Same activists, same Antifa activists, same BAM people that were in there are now renting or who knows what, this other place called Kitchen Community Kitchen Contra Viento y Marea. And this guy is raising money for it. He said, we need food, clothes. Are they running a shelter, Duke? Are they running a shelter? He says, where's he from? I'm a migrant from Honduras. He's a volunteer.
Okay.
I'm a stable volunteer of the kitchen. That means he works there full time. Oops, I'm sorry. I mean, they know none of them work. Mm-hmm. They're not taking money for this part in the smuggling operation. It's all for free, so they can't be charged with the crime, right?
Right.
To communicate with me in person, to communicate with us, myself, or Debbie Machete, or Stephanie Hernandez, or Anna Soon, we also need money. Communicate with them. I don't know English. Only they do. Have a good day.
Yeah.
And Al-Mufakir, I'm going to keep getting his name wrong. I just have a feeling about it. I'm going to just keep getting it wrong over and over again. Has a Facebook page. Here's his Facebook page. And it says there he is from San Pedro Sula, Cortes, Honduras. He's from the evangelical department. Oh, snap. Oh, snap. Okay. Now, I want you to see the second part of this Facebook page in which you can see a series of pictures. One of them, he's standing in front of a border wall with a California Berkeley hoodie on. And another picture, he's standing next to a phone booth in Mexico. And there are many other pictures. The guy's relatively young. He's obviously given his life to the Lord. He's very much involved in his church thing. Especially earlier on in the photos I found on his Facebook page. But what he's been working on in Mexico since they raised all that money while they were at that standoff with the police for 6 days is this place, Comedor Viento y Marea. There they are painting the sign over the door. And you can see in the next one that they have an address. Maybe para la gente tijuanense, para mi gente tijuanense linda, hermosa, que pueda reconocer esta dirección, maybe they can locate the location by getting a better look at the address there.
Mm-hmm.
Viento y Marea also has a clinic. Here's Al-Mufakir wearing a sign talking about it. Open Saturdays from 3:30 p.m. to 5:30. It's free. There's the Anarchist A.
Oh, yeah.
Just to make sure you know, Al-Mufakir, Honduran immigrant, probably came with caravan number one. He's not one of those innocent rubes hanging out with these activists that he didn't know were part of the violent BAM group and Antifa and anarchy things. They know. They know. They're totally totes okay with it. They know. Al-Mufakir also has a truck, or he's at least working with people that use this particular Tundra TRO truck. Green in hue with the lettering that you see there. It's a Tundra. It's a green truck. It's a double cab in the front, right? This is the truck they've been using. And what they've been doing with it is they've been doing some work at that building where they got their building, where they got their restaurant or their whatever the heck it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And there you see them hauling, what is that, lumber and other building materials off the back of that truck.
Yep, exactly.
They're working on the roof up there. They got some kind of community garden going on, but they're also building some buildings there. I don't know if that's a bathroom or they're just, I don't know what that's for. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty small building, but they are building with some other folks. You can tell clearly these are all white folks. Blonde.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very blonde. Very. All of Al-Mufakir's friends that are doing all this stuff in Mexico are people like this young lady there in the blonde hair. There's a lot of that going on. But there are some other what appear to be Central American and Mexican activists working with them at this place, at this shelter. Here they are with some of their other friends. Here's Alma Fouquier with some of their other friends. And here he is with some of their propaganda. It's connected to the Rise for Climate Justice. It's connected to all of the, you know, Honor the Earth, all of the, you know, Doug McLean, you know, pipeline protectors, you know, protect the sacred climate survival type propaganda. But it also has to do with elements, all of which we saw at Standing Rock, by the way, mm-hmm. of people that communities that are protecting themselves from police surveillance, like cop watchers. Yeah. And here you have their Alma Fouquier sharing some of that, where their police are not welcome in their communities, stay out. So they have all of these materials, but they also messaging about how they don't want borders, they don't want laws, they don't want walls. You can clearly see there that they've got a sign where there's a, what is that tool, Duke?
That's a bolt cutter, but it cuts fences really well.
Bolt cutter cutting the fence, cutting the concertina wire, the whatever mm-hmm. that's up there at the top. And it says the border is not a wall. Read that for me. Comes from Crime Think, THINC, not THINCK. But what do they say?
The border is not a wall. It's a system of control. It doesn't protect people. It pits them against each other. It doesn't foster togetherness. It breaks.
It breeds resentment.
Breeds resentment. It doesn't keep out predators. It gives them badges and guns. The border does not divide one world from another. There's only one world, and the border is tearing it apart.
Interesting.
Yep.
So here is the kitchen, this is a table that they put out where they're putting out leaflets. It looks like they're serving some kind of drink mm-hmm. and taking in donations for their organization, group, nonprofit. I don't think they're probably licensed to be getting money in a nonprofit way in Mexico, but does that stop these folks?
Nope.
No. And the guy that's sitting next to Ernesto is Devi Machete. Here they are in the kitchen. There's all of them together, many of them from this group. Sitting right in the middle is this American, obviously American, with the word for water in Nahuatl on her shirt. Hmm. And the next one, we see them, some of their friends. Here's some of the people, if you look at the very top of this, you can tell it comes from Ernesto's page, this post. Mm-hmm. And I just looked at the tags on this one post to show you that these are the same people working with the Americans in Hollywood and their allies. Rye Bread is one of the reporters from California working with Sam Slovic, the actor. You remember her? Mm-hmm. She was outside of Viento y Marea. There's Devi Machete, the one that I will be showing you a little bit more detail on. Douglas Oviedo was the guy, Douglas, that was with Lolly B and started the Puente band with, his name? Adam Elfers.
Yeah.
So you recognize these folks, don't you?
Yep.
Let's go on to page two of the friends tagged on this post. To include, right after Douglas Oviedo, we've got Jay Fuller. Remember Jay Fuller, Duke?
Yeah.
She was one of the volunteers for the Water Protector Legal Collective and the Freshet, working with Honor the Earth, working with the Standing Rock phonies and pseudo-activists that hurt Kathleen Bennett's case. She gave that interview with Myron Dewey of Digital Smoke Signals that went to defraud and speak down to the migrants in Mexico City. That Jay Fuller is connected to this migrant in the caravan. Okay, Joshua Nichols was one of the activists, the blonde guy that was translating with the federal police officer inside Viento y Marea, along with Rob Wilson.
Okay, yeah.
He was with Jesse, what's her name?
Jesse Sandoval?
Not Jesse Sandoval.
Oh.
Lilith Sinclair, the sex worker.
Oh.
And she was also with Jamie Skapowski.
Okay.
And there's Jamie Skapowski's name.
Right there. Mm-hmm.
Border Support Network moderator, etc. So you know that the people that are managing and running these shelters are the same people putting out the propaganda about how you're supposed to talk about migrants in the caravan and mass migration. And you better not mention the baby slavery. You better not mention that, because that doesn't fit into their propaganda, you see. Debbie Machetta's Facebook page shows that she is connected, friends with some people that I know from Standing Rock right there. You can see my mutual, Cody Sison. But not only that, Debbie Machete, she's an American. Scroll down on her Facebook page about there and you'll see she's from Los Angeles and she manages the Hecate Society. She's not a Mexican, but they send these brown people down there that speak a little bit of Spanish. By the way, Debbie, your Spanish is horrible. But they send these people down there because they think that they can fool Mexicans. Tijuanenses have a very specific way of speaking. Tijuanenses are not like people anywhere else. Anywhere else. I'm just going to say that. And they can tell when you're not from their hometown. They totally can. You got to stop, just not talk for them to never be able to tell.
There you go.
But as you can see there at the very top photo that she is on her second page of her Facebook profile, at the very top, she's with Mr. Alma Fukir's friend in the glasses and the hat there. Here's Debbie Machete with an actual machete in a picture. And here she is along with the kitchen at Viento y Marea. And it says at the bottom there, getting ready to F it up, F it up. Mm-hmm. And if you look, she's pointing out her tattoos. Josh Nichols loves this post. And if you blow it up and look at those fists pointed at the camera and you look real close, you see there she's got an A at the beginning of the word amor. And it's inside of a circle.
Oh, it's our anarchist symbol.
It's the anarchist symbol, honey. Yeah, because that's what they is. Here's the thing that she runs, the Hecate Society. This is one of the posts that they made in solidarity with Contra Viento y Marea. What do you mean in solidarity? You are that. That is you. I'm in solidarity with myself. Well, good. Somebody needs friends. You have to be part of that, right? Oh, I know. I know, Derek. Thank you for mentioning that she does come from Minnesota. Can you believe that? That scraggly person, homeless looking person is from Minnesota. Why are you making Mexicans look bad going down to Mexico and doing that? Embarrassing us. I told the Mexican people down there, I cannot vouch for this Minnesotan. I'm sorry. There is a post that they made about their society in which they're posting in solidarity here. And they want organizers. What kind of organizers? Migrant organizers. That's their coded wording for human smugglers, for mercenary activists. And they have a kitchen and garden. It's a donation. It's a kitchen, a donation center. It's a shelter and a garden. And they're going to house the volunteers that help to move the migrants. You know what you're paying for every time you fund one of these kitchens, like Enclave Caracol and this one and the other ones and their shelters? You're funding the smugglers and their smuggling operation.
Yep.
How nice can you make it for the smugglers and their smuggling operation? I don't know. But for those of you who are bored, here's something else you can go to posted by the Hecate Society. You want to get into a violent clash with people on both sides of this battle? Because if you want to catch the action or get punched in the face, maybe get maced, arrested, there is going to be an event on June 30th that these people from the Hecate Society would like you to show up at so that you can get in a violent confrontation with a Proud Boys. So, you know, and I've talked about this before, these Antifa people. Many times I have even noticed that they will be the same people that set up events so that these two sides of people, those who are against the fascists, the perceived fascists, those who are against the racism, the Antifa people show up, and then people get hurt. In some cases, like what happened in the Carolina protest, people die.
Yeah.
And in Standing Rock, people got hurt. Mm-hmm. And these folks don't care.
Nope.
But that's what they're inviting you to. Look at what the propaganda is for. I'm not talking about whether you believe Antifa are bad or good or violent or not. I know they are. I've seen it. Are all of them? No. Does that matter? I think that it's important for us to notice what they're trying to do, which is put people at places where there will be violent clashes and people will get arrested.
Mm-hmm.
Like they did at Standing Rock. Do you not care about that? Do you not care about the fact that it's orchestrated and dangerous? I do. And others, people that are currently doing these things are anti-fascists from other states and other places like Ann Arbor.
Yep.
Currently doing F-ICE, no death by deportation action in Detroit, Michigan. This was posted by, I can't read the name because it's in like, I don't know, some symbols that look like they come from the Ukraine or something.
Yeah.
I'm just going to call this guy, this person who's an Antifa Opie. Because that's the closest is it I can, what is that name? It looks like Opie or Opry. Yep. So I'm just going to call this Opie. Antifa Opie.
Antifa Opie.
Antifa Opie posted in the Border Support Network about this event by the Ann Arbor anti-fascists. And let's just take a quick look at Antifa OP's Facebook page so you can see what they look like. Of course, they don't have a picture because they like to keep their identity secret. This is a refresher of where we've seen Antifa OP's name before, because I showed you that along with the Border Support Network page, there was a page link that had all of the introductions of all of the people that were forming the Border Support Network. I showed you Lilith Sinclair was a moderator and Vivian Farmery and Evan Duke. I showed you that 8-Ball, one of the people that helped to kidnap the old lady and kill her, the one in the story about Standing Rock, Mary Trujillo, she was in there. I showed you how these people that had been involved in hurting people, claiming to be medics, claiming to be these things, were in that group. And I also showed you that they talked about, Lilith Sinclair was in there, about being violent and not being tone policed on their desire to talk about how they have been violent in the past. Because Lilith Sinclair had to tell some of the people in that room, I get it. I know what we really are. I know what we really stand for. And I'm not going to try and tone police you, but don't write it in this public room because people could nail us on that later on.
Yeah. It's like, shh.
Yeah. Shh. Yeah. Well, this was what Antifa Opie posted in that group, in that room as her intro. I'm Falco. She, her are her pronouns. Nashville Antifa and Anarchist Black Cross. Remember me asking y'all, what's the Anarchist Black Cross? I think I explained it on an earlier show. This is a picture, the only picture from this person's Facebook page. I'm assuming that the guy standing loud and proud in front there is not her, but I don't know. It could be. And who is that person right next to the person standing up? Sitting down, wearing glasses and a little hat. Can you blow up this picture and tell me who that is, Duke?
I can tell you who it is, but I can blow up the picture.
Let me tell you. You're going to see it in a minute. That's Lilith Sinclair sitting there right next to him.
Yeah,
you recognize her?
Yep.
Okay, let's go to Antifa Opie's Facebook pic. Oh, that was it. Let's go to Kiara Horsley. Kiara Horsley is, of course, Lilith Sinclair. This is from Opie's page. Something else they posted. It says, sometimes anti-social, always anti-fascist.
Oh, man.
And in the middle of the button, it says, you gonna need a warrant for that. Because they have an antagonism with law enforcement.
Yeah.
There's a reason why. Occupy ICE Detroit, and the action that they're talking about, that they're posting about, that Antifa Opie was posting in the Border Support Network, says here, Occupy ICE Detroit, no death by deportations, And you'll see somebody marching around there in the frame. Let's take a look at who that is. This is Jennifer. Jennifer, one of the moderators of the Border Support Network. Wow. She's the one wearing the sandwich sign there that says, what does it say? Can we get closer? Here's the next slide. It says, no more dead kids. And she's got that flung over her shoulder at the bottom. It's got the Ann Arbor anti-fascist group that she belongs with.
Mm-hmm.
And what are they associated with in those signs? I had you blow up. Yeah. BAM. Because she's part of BAM.
Mm-hmm.
In that group that these people and that Antifa OP introduced themselves, she talks about Yvette Falarca, the leader of BAM, because she's friends with her. I showed you all of that in my past shows. I'm just reminding you of it now.
Yep.
And Antifa OP, all these people were on the Border Support Network. Look at Antifa OP. You can see his name right there. He's one of the moderators. Fourth one down. After Pancha Flor Guevara. But you also have Wambly Wikasa, which we know is also the name of Mr. Errol Medicine, part of the Errol Medicine group.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Doug McLean in there. And there's Jessica Prozinski, the woman wearing the sandwich sign. She is one of the main people that are managing this page. Mm-hmm. Go now to the domestic deployment video. This is what I will end with and what I will warn folks about, because I know the modus operandi of these activists and what they do. I showed you in my last show they made a calling for thousands of people to come to their border camps. I showed you that they're talking about violence. They act with violence, and that they are fixing to get ready to go to all these actions and protests and camps. And then I heard this about a soldier being deployed in the United States and where they're being deployed to and what kind of equipment there's going to be available. That reminded me a lot of what we heard about the equipment used at Standing Rock. And this is just one soldier being deployed to Texas. Listen to this clip.
One moment, please.
Out. Two nights ago, a gentleman who is active duty was home at convalescent leave, which means he was at home for up to 58 days with his newborn baby. But after 22 days, all of a sudden he gets, on the 14th, a letter saying you have 72 hours to deploy. But that's not the scary part. The scary part is the fact that it was a domestic deployment. So I asked, is there anything that you can give us documentation-wise? He says, well, yeah, I can give you the AKO, the Army Knowledge Online Deployment. He redacted his personal info, but apparently he left enough numbers for a veteran to break it down and to tell exactly where he was going. So what you are about to hear was the first caller of the show, which shocked about 1,800 people live. Pay attention, because this is really happening.
Mark Fugle News.
All right, let's get a 254 on here. Hello, you are live on Mark Fugle TV.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. You sound perfect.
Hey.
First off, what do you want us to call you, and where are you from?
I'm from Texas, and I'm ex-military as well, and I've got a daughter that just recently got out, and her husband is still in the military. And I found some information out just from some of the stuff that you posted online with from that guy's orders. And from when I was looking it up, he's being sent to Lubbock, which Lubbock only has one military base, which has been closed down for 20 years. It's been converted into a technology center. When you look up that technology center, what they do is make high-frequency weapons.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that? They make high-frequency weapons?
correct. They're truck mounted. So I tried to send you a message earlier. If you look at what his deployment says, it says he'll reach it. He'll get to his captain, and he'll be issued his. There's two codes there. One is for radio equipment. The other one is for that specific weapon. It's a truck mounted weapon when he gets there.
Are you talking about like EMF? Like, are you talking about
like a radio wave? It's almost like a microwave. It's for like crowd control.
Crowd control.
So it kind of got me to thinking that it's either something that they're going to deploy to the border, or what I was more fearful of is possibly martial law. Yeah, if you'll look up the Technology Research Center, I think it's, look up,
is
I believe
it
it's Reese Air Force Base.
Reese Technology, 20 years later, rebirth from Air Force Base to Technology Center.
Correct. And if you look up the code, one of the two codes that he's gonna get from his captain, one is a radio equipment, but the second one is the machine that, or is a a tactical unit that he'll be issued. But and then if you look that up, it says that it was created by the Technology Center.
This is crazy. Do you realize what this means? I mean, what else could it be?
Well, it just so happens that this video of the deployment of the soldier, and I'm sure that was not that they didn't just deploy one soldier.
Yeah.
in the fall of 2018 to Texas. Notice how a lot of the mobilization of these activists and of the camps, we know it's bombarding El Paso. We know that there are camps all along the Texas border. I've been telling you about this. I've been talking about this for months, ever since I saw these activists involved. And I said, we're waiting for Standing Rock 2.0 at the border.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
I think that it's going to come with the violent clashes that we saw here in North Dakota. I'm just telling you what I know about the mode of operation of these folks. That's all I have for you tonight, but I'm going to bring you a lot more detail in my upcoming shows. Stay tuned here. Catch the policy this upcoming Monday.
Mm-hmm.
New programming here on KPPPLP. And keep it tuned to A Mexican Crossing Lines on 88.1 FM, KPPPLP Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. That's it for me, Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And Duke Gomez-Shemp.
Buenas noches.